Welcome to Jewish History with Rabbi David Katz, connecting the human side to Jewish history. For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidavidkatz.com.
Hi, it's Monday morning, and I have to do the Parsha Shmini second time because I forgot. I have to do this week. I thought it was next week. The Parsha and the Haftorah for Lou Goldberg and family, one of our good friends and sponsors of this podcast. And this is because his father's yard site, no, it's Lou's father's yard site is coming up. It's Mordechai Ben Lippman Leiv. The yard site will be Rosh Chodesh. I guess it's a week from today. Okay. I guess it's just as well. I have another medical procedure then. It's better to read Koheles than to live Koheles. But I do thank the Goldbergs, and I hope that this will be a tribute in Aliyas and Hashama for Lou's father, Mordechai Ben Lippman Leiv. And thank you very much. We're looking again at Parsha Shmini, and I'll tell you a different angle that occurred to me. Obviously, the big dramatic story, tragic, whatever, is the death of Nadav HaNavi. And the funny use of the word Eish, which I spoke about in the past, because it says, again, I'm going by memory, it says they want to bring an Eish Zara. So they wanted to bring a different type of fire. And it can be understood literally, because the different offerings over there. Remember, we're talking about Vayom HaShmini, the inaugural day of the Mishkan. That's the key point to keep in mind. as I mentioned in the past, the Mishkan represents a different model, physical as well as spiritual. That's the funny thing about these stories of Mount Sinai. There's a physical component to them, but the spiritual, or perhaps I should say almost a metaphorical, I repeat, it does happen. It is literally true. But the metaphorical meaning is more important than the literal truth. You see? And that's hard for people to understand sometimes. In other words, you have Mount Sinai, and of course the Mishkan is built at the base of Mount Sinai, as we know. So you have Mount Sinai, which is an elevated place. That's a physical, you know, what do you call it, topographical fact. A mountain is higher than regular land. But the real significance of it is that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he goes up the mountain, goes to a higher madrega. You see what I'm saying? Which is entirely a spiritual concept and has nothing to do with topography. In other words, God could have spoken to Moses, as he usually did, wherever Moses was standing or sitting or sleeping. It says he could talk to him 24/7. For whatever reason, I think, to make an impression on the people, he chose to have the encounter of the Ten Commandments on the top of something you and I would call a mountain. Wasn't even such a big mountain, but it's a mountain. The idea being, this is my understanding. I mean, maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. I'm just telling you what I think. The idea being, you have a mass of people who recently were slaves in Egypt. You're trying to convey to themselves the idea of a divine preeminence. And the idea is God is way up there. Like we say in our davening, even though we don't mean it literally. You say in Olenu, Moshe Vikro, the dwelling place of his yakar, of his splendor, is Bashamay Mimal, in the heaven upstairs. What do you mean upstairs? This is always the problem you have. It's not physically upstairs. God is not physically anywhere. I mean, he created space, you see? But it's trying to convey the idea of transcendence to the regular God. If I think that something's way up above me, that has, as they say, a literal meaning, but also has a non-literal meaning, and the non-literal meaning is more important. If I say like this, I just met Albert Einstein. He's way above me, man. Now, suppose I saw, I mean, I don't mean that Einstein, you know, if he were alive, was physically above me. I mean, intellectually, correct? Brain-wise, he's above me. So I'm using the word above to mean more than. So the whole Har Sinai business is, again, it did happen. So in other words, God is at the top of the mountain, however you understand that. And Moshe goes up the mountain. And the people see, The main point is the people all standing at the bottom look up and see Moses at the top of the mountain, and they get this concept of transcendence. Maybe they weren't philosophers yet to understand God's not exactly in the mountain either, but whatever the case is, you see him at the top of the mountain, and then you understand he's beyond beyond. And they're even told at the Mount Sinai experience, at the Ten Commandments, stay away from the mountain. Remember that? Stay away from the mountain. If anybody approaches the mountain, they'll get killed, even. So the idea being, don't go beyond what your capacities are. Malamaila, malamata, malifnim, malochar, as they say. Don't, the average person, not the philosopher, shouldn't go beyond beyond. Stick to regular religious thoughts. Because we go beyond beyond, what was there before the world was this, how does God operate this, you know, you can reach the wrong conclusions, and it'll be bad. That's why they tell the average person, don't go look in Kabbalah. So this is conveyed by the idea that Moshe goes up the mountain. Not only does he go up the mountain, but the top of the mountain is a cloud, and a Raphael, and it's fire, and this and that and the other. And so the idea is, the communications with the Lord is beyond beyond. However, this is changed when you have the Mishkan model. When they make this building, this Mishkan complex, this tabernacle complex, however fancy or cheap it is, at the base of the mountain. So all of a sudden, we're in the same level. Get what I'm saying? Me and you, the regular Jew, can walk into the Mishkan. You don't have to climb up a mountain. It's right there. I understand that, you know, going to Kodesh Kodashim part, Ol Moed, but it's there. And a lot of, I mean, the whole book of Vayikra, almost all the book of Vayikra, are communications there. Vayikra Moshe, Vayikra Elam, Ol Moed Leimor, right? So in other words, it's a lower topographical level, and therefore a lower spiritual level. I hate to use these cliches, but my understanding of lower spiritual level means it's something that people can comprehend in a way that they couldn't comprehend the Sinai experience, which is at the top of the mountain, is beyond me. If I'm looking at the Sinai experience, especially if you go by the regular story in the Chumash, they even said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you listen, we can't listen, it's too loud, it's too scary, kravatoshma, you handle it, you know. They only heard the first commandments. They couldn't take the if we im yosu manachdu lishmos kol Hashem alkeinu b'moshe. If we hear more of God's commandments, we'll die. It's too much for us. Okay, and by the way, God said that's a good observation. Mi yitain. They're quite right. It is too much for them. And that's why I'm only giving to you Moses, who's ready for it, and you know not the regular people, but them don't mess it up. Okay, now. But then there's the switch to the Mishkan model. So you go from model A to model B. You go from the Sinai business to the Mishkan business. The Sinai business is all the way up there at the top. And remember, the top is, this, again, is a fiery cloud and all this other business. And you go to the bottom where it's much more mundane. Now, I'm not saying the Mishkan is exactly a mundane, typical mundane place. But it is on the land. It is downstairs. Okay? And therefore, it has its own characteristics. One of the interesting things to me, is, if you notice, when Moses is at the top of the mountain, he doesn't bring any sacrifices. Did you ever notice that? He just goes there and communicates with God. When you're downstairs, it's a whole world of sacrifices and rituals and clean and unclean and all this other business. It's a world of ceremonialism. I repeat. When Moshe was at the top of the mountain, it was a conversation, like the Chumash says, Kashi Dabar Ishal Reu, that God says the Ten Commandments to Moshe, and then 40 days and 40 nights he's up there to get the rest of the Torah. I mean, there weren't any sacrifices going on there. There weren't any rituals. It was just a straightforward communication. You see? It's like the modern person. We don't have any karbonis and stuff like that nowadays. If you daven, and if you have a good davening, I repeat, if you have a good davening, you just talk to God. I need a shidduch, I need this, I need money, I need health, whatever it is, you know, you're looking great today. Whatever your conversation is, the nature of the worship is through the mode of communication, not through the mode of ceremonialism or rituals or sacrifices or things of that nature. It's interesting. So in other words, what you see physically represents something, as they say, metaphorically, which is actually more important than the physical. Because when you're at the top of the mountain, you don't need carbonus and all this other stuff. But when you're at the bottom, you need more ceremonialism. Use the modern parlance. You know, if you're, maybe I shouldn't say, I don't know. If you're a Talmud Chacham or something like that, you don't need a fancy shul with a choir and a davening and a chazan and all the rest of it. You already know how to daven. A regular plain minyan. That's why in my lifetime we've gone from the large synagogues of yesteryear to the smaller ones and much, much less formal ones, right? You know, have a sexton and a cantor and a choir and responsive readings and all this kind of, they don't need it. You're there to show to talk to Hashem. That's enough. On the other hand, me, myself, and I've been in shuls where the worshipers are not Talmid Chacham, let's call it that way. Nothing wrong. And they're regular good people. And they're in shul, listen, you know, got to give them credit. And for them, a good chazan makes a difference. A choir makes a difference. Responsive readings make a difference. I mean, they do. You know what I'm saying? So no, you need more ceremonialism. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm from the generation where at the beginning they had all the ceremonialism. And sort of as a sociological rebellion against that, they switched to shuls that, you know, you see more yeshivas, more informal, and all the rest of it. I mean, chazanim is sort of like going out the window, haven't they? What shuls today, there's a few, but I mean, much less, have formal cantors and things of that nature, much less. You know, and thank Gaitas. So the Mishkan would represent the more formal type, with the more ceremonial. That's precisely because they don't know how to talk to God directly. Okay. Now, as far as this week's parsha is concerned, it's all about the inauguration of the Mishkan. I repeat, the Mishkan. Which means, you're talking about the inauguration of a permanent system of a different type of communication with God. Until now, it's been Moshe Rabbeinu upstairs on the mountain without any ceremonialism, with any carbons. No carbon ola, carbon tota, all the rest of it. I know at Sinai, at the base of the mountain, they had a couple of carbons. But there's nothing at the top, you see? Moshe has not said, God does not say to Moses, come to the top of a mountain, v'lo yeru'u ponai reikom. And when you come to the top, bring a carbon or a gift or something like that. God and Moses are beyond that. You see what I'm saying? You know, that's for the public, for the rubes. They're beyond that. But now you're inaugurating a new thing in which you want the Hamonam, the masses of people, to have some kind of greater shaykhus with the great spirit above. And therefore, they require a certain ceremonialism, a protocol. Because if you leave it up to the average guy to do it himself, who knows? It'll end up with some kind of egoism situation. And so, as Maimonides says, you need a regulated, protocol-driven type of service run by a trained priesthood who make sure that things are done in a non-paganistic way, etc., etc. So, who's supposed to run this operation? Aaron and his children, not Moshe. Right? Moshe is obviously not good for the ceremonial kind of thing. That's not who he was. Moshe was first approached by God and heavily recruited at the burning bush without carbonus, without ceremonialism, just as, like you say, like a straightforward HR operation. God said, I want you, so you're my people. Moses says no. God says yes. Moses says no. We know the story. He like heavily recruited them. But there was nothing, you know, ritualistic involved in it. It was a straightforward recruiting. And when Moshe took the job, he went to Egypt and he spoke on God's behalf to get Jews out, speaking to Pharaoh, as we know. But now, the communications are going to be of a different order. The communications of the people, at least, of the people, will be through the medium of the Mishkan. In other words, what we call religion. You know, an organized set of rules and regulations. Moshe, however, will continue to have this direct communication with God. That's who Moses was, right? I don't think if you look in the Chumash, When I say Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, it's like preceded by offering karbonos and stuff like that. Bilam does that, but not Moshe. On the other hand, Aaron is all karbonos. You see, that's his job, to run the ceremonial side of things. So it requires a different state of mind, a different ish, if you will, right? There's the fire, the ish of direct communications, non-ceremonialism on the one hand, and then there's the other one, the ish of ritual and ceremonialism. Karbonos, menachos, all the rules and regulations is zvachim, along with 1,000 details like pigol and me'ilah, and it's not in the other. You know, enough to, as we all know, a person could wrap himself up totally in kachem and spend the rest of their life in that kind of stuff and never get out and be happy that way. You know, like briskers. It's all, you know, ceremonialism. Okay. So that's going to be the job of Aaron. So that requires a different type of ish, so to speak. I'm not referring to physical fire. I'm referring to a certain spirituality. Spirituality of Aaron and his children from now on, according to God's command, in the new place called the Mishkan, and later on the Beis HaMikdash, is going to be to run the worship of God through a certain ceremonialism without the ceremonialism taking the place of, you know, of heartfelt religious feelings. That's the great danger of ceremonialism. You focus on the formalities and not on the essence of it. So Aaron is told this. Okay, fine. The problem is none of an aviyu. How so? Listen closely. What's unique about Nadav and Avihu, as opposed to their brothers, as opposed to other people? They had been on the mountain. Do you remember back in, where is it, Kisisa or someplace? At a certain point, God says to Moses, you bring up your brother and the 70 elders and Nadav and Avihu. Remember that? And they get to a certain point, but they can only go part way up the mountain, not all the way up the mountain. Which again, the metaphorical reality is more interesting than the physical reality. Yes, they can go up to a mountain to us halfway up, let's say. But that means that they're an intermediate category. They're higher than the people who are below the mountain. They can't even get on the mountain. But of course, they're not as high as Moshe Rabbeinu. He's the only one who can go to the top of the mountain. That's what God's command was. Nevertheless, having said that, it was a heck of an experience. Now, I'll say for the 15th time, yes, they physically went up a mountain, but what's more important is they went up in Madregas, you see, spiritually, to a certain point, but not beyond that point. If you remember, it says that they saw by Yeruas El Hey Yisrael Basachas Raglob Kamasi Livna Sasapia. It said they actually saw God. And this is what it said, not me, it's in the Chumash. Vayechzu was Elohim. Vayechzu is an interesting purpose. It doesn't say Vayiru, it said Vayechzu. I'm not the Malbimer, one of these types, the Ksava Kabbalah. You can look it up there, why I say Choza instead of Roa. You know, but the point is, they had an experience of the divine, which was not vouchsafed to the masses of the people downstairs, who were just looking. But on the other hand, it's not equal to the guy at the top of the mountain either. So they have like intermediate category. So they had a funny situation because they saw God. It's not clear how they reacted to it. Dating, they drank. That's a pregnant verse. You know, eating and drinking can refer to Torah. Eating and drinking can refer to spirituality. I'm serious. All right? Spirituality. They say the Torah. Means they took it in. Now, there are other interpretations that say they had a Kiddush Rishon. It's a famous medrash that says none of the Nabi were killed because they made a Kiddush Rishon when they saw God. And there's a time and a place for everything. And the heck with the Kiddush Rishon. You know, it's not the time to go in and make a Kiddush. Vayuchla Vayishtu. Alternatively, in the Hasidic interpretation, I've told you this before. In the Hasidic interpretations, what's his name has this wonderful article he collects them all. My favorite heretic, Louis Jacobs, right? Eating is a mode of spirituality, something like that. You see all the classic Hasidic literature, Vayuchla Vayishtu means they ate the food in a high madrega, they were mild and the tzitzis from the food and all that business. You know, if you eat in the right way, like the Masilsit Sharm has in that chapter in Kedusha, so then you're actually doing a holy act. Fine, let it be. Point, though, is they had this intermediate experience and their particular unusual way of reacting to it. And then these two people, none of them have you, Aaron was also up there, but Aaron apparently couldn't handle it, are now told, go down to the bottom of the mountain. You were halfway up the mountain. Now, don't go all the way up to the mountain. Go down to the bottom and build a Mishkan. And then you will perform and officiate in that Mishkan. But the Mishkan is a lower level. The Mishkan is at the bottom of the mountain. And they've already been halfway up the mountain. You see? I repeat, they weren't all the way at the top, like Moshe, but they've been halfway up the mountain. And now they're told, from now on, you're going to operate here in the Mishkan. The Mishkan was so conceived and so built at God's directions with all the details that it's supposed to operate at a lower level. It's on land. It's not on a mountain. And the ceremonies and the customs and all the rituals that are associated with the Mishkan are so designed by God to accommodate the masses, as it were. You see? The masses did not go up the mountain. The masses are at the bottom and they watch the mountain from afar. But now, right? Now the masses are going to enter into this, what do you call it? Yeah, a ground level institution of Kedusha, whatever. Noda and Avihu weren't comfortable with that. They said, we've seen better. We've seen higher. We were halfway up the mountain. Vayechzu es Elohim. That's not a small pasuk over here. They saw God, meaning their perception of divine was way beyond the masses. And now they're told they have to like ratchet it down and make it like the masses. And they didn't do that. They couldn't do that. Or at least they thought, let's put it this way. They thought, like Moshe himself many times, they can improve on God's commands. If you know the story of the relationship between God on the one hand and Moses on the other, there's a bunch of times where God says, do this, and Moses said, no, let's do this. This would turn out even better. Sometimes he got egg on his face, and sometimes he did not. Right? When he took the ear of Rav, he got egg on his face. When he said, wait an extra day before you come, Hosef Yom Echa Midaito, that was a good thing. God said, Yasha Koach. You know? So Moshe was Moshe. That's who he was. Right? And God knew that. That's why he recruited him, and so forth and so on. That's what none of them want to do. But they don't understand the whole metzias of the Mishkan is to run according to ritualistic. Right? It's not the informal stuff that you get on the mountain. On the top of the mountain, you have super informal, just God is talking to Moses. Halfway up the mountain is semi-informal. You see God, but you don't talk to him. It doesn't say that they had a conversation with God. They just saw God sitting on a sapphire brick. Right? That's what it says. There's no conversation. Now they want to bring an Eshara. They want to bring some of that. This is what I think, anyway. They want to bring a strange fire. This is some of that Sinai experience into the Mishkan. And they can't do it. And they die. Because that's the wrong way to run it. This is the reason why Moses was told he can't run the Mishkan, in my opinion. Moses can't run something that's on a mundane level, even though that mundane level is necessary for the Hamunah. To use a modern example, it's no good having a rabbi of a synagogue if he's going to go up there on a typical Saturday morning and give some kind of lumdish business, you know, Chaim Brisk and all these things, talking way over the heads of everybody. Doesn't mean the material's not bad. Could be what he says is brilliant. It's useless for the people in the synagogue. And the purpose of a drasha or something like that is supposed to affect the people in the synagogue. If you can't be on that level, you're in the wrong job. Go give a shiur somewhere. Don't be a rabbi in a synagogue. You see? So they bring Esau, it's too high. And therefore we have this wonderful, it's a sad story, but we have this wonderful interplay of topography. There's the top of the mountain, there's the middle of the mountain, there's the base level on the mountain. The Mishkan is run, you know, on flat ground. Aaron apparently knows how to do that, even though Aaron had been up the mountain, but Aaron was very much an onov, and he wasn't jealous of his brother. All those qualities saved his life, you see. Nadav and Avihu, apparently the experience on the mountain, for a completely understandable reason, ruined them, so to speak, from being able to run the Mishkan. It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Vayechzer Elohim, I mean, think about that. Think about that. Vayechzer Elohim. But as a result, they were not able to, the story is they weren't able to refrain from trying to bring some of that into the Mishkan. And it's pasnish, you see? It's inappropriate. So religion is a funny business. It has to be right time, right place, the right level for the people you're dealing with. Like I said before, to give a fancy schmancy shir to a regular Balbatish audience is a misuse and it's a negative, you see? Even though the material itself is good. So I think in that regard, the story of Nanaviyu is quite striking in terms of this week's parsha. Again, I want to thank the Goldberg family. It's, as I said before, it's the yard site. It's coming up the yard site of Lou's father, Mordechai Ben Lippman Lev. And I wish everybody a good week.
For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidovidkatz.com.